أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. وصلى على محمد وآله. Verses 59 onwards. هذا فوج مقتحم معكم، لا مرحبا بهم، إنهم صالوا النار. قالوا بل أنتم لا مرحبا بكم، أنتم قدمتموه لنا فبئس القرار. This is a group plunging into hell along with you. May wretchedness be their lot, they will indeed enter the fire. They say, rather, may wretchedness be your lot. You prepared this for us. What an evil abode. One of the troubles of the people of the hell, as we discussed before, is the psychological attitude that they have towards each other, all the time fighting and quarreling, arguing with a contentious and a type of bellicose attitude that they have towards each other. It appears in many places in the Quran. When they come across each other, when they see each other, this argument, this quarreling happens all the time. Here it is mentioned that when a group enters the hell, especially a group when knows the previous group, a group which has come after some other group have misled them to come, or probably even a generation coming after another generation, which is following their path, following what they had set as a pattern or as a sunnah for them, they start to argue each other. Now here it says, of course, a group are already in the hell, another group follow them, and probably they talk to each other, or the angels would inform them that this is a group coming along with you because of you, who were your associates, who were your friends. That's why I said this is a group plunging into hell along with you. There should be some sort of relationship between them, certainly, that they are informed or they talk about that among each other. And then after they realize that this is a group coming, those who had followed them, for example, they say, may wretchedness be their lots. Of course, those who have followed haven't done anything to these people who have misled them. However, everyone hates everyone in the hell. Everyone would like to curse others in the hell. And that's why they say, may wretchedness be their lots. They will indeed enter the fire, as an appeasing statement for them, that they feel relieved that they also entered the hell. They also share the predicament that themselves are having. And upon hearing this, the other group would say, they say, rather may wretchedness be your lot. You prepared this for us. You prepared hell for us. And this shows that, of course, they were following the other group. What an evil abode that we have come in because of you. Now, as I said, this type of argument is mentioned in other places in the Quran as well. If you look into Surah Safat, the previous surah, surah number 37, verse number 27, it says, وَأَقْبَلَ بَعْضُهُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ يَتَسَاءَلُونَ. Some of them will turn to others, questioning each other. They will say, "Innakum kuntum ta'atunana 'an al-yamin." Indeed, you used to accost us, or to come to us from the right side. It means with a very nice attire, coming, talking to us as you understood better, more, as you were well-wishers, you came and talked to us. This is ta'tunana an al-yamin, you came from the right side. قَالُوا بَلْ لَمْ تَكُونُوا مُؤْمِنِينَ. Rather, they will answer, rather you yourselves had no faith. وَمَا كَانَ لَنَا عَلَيْكُمْ مِنْ سُلْطَانٍ بَلْ كُنْتُمْ قَوْمًا طَاغِينَ. We had no authority over you. Rather, you yourselves were a rebellious lot. So the blame putting on the people who had made them astray is, of course, returned to themselves that you yourselves were rebellious. فَحَقَّ عَلَيْنَا قَوْلُ رَبِّنَا. So our Lord's word became due against us, all of us now. إِنَّا لَذَائِقُونَ. That we shall indeed taste the punishment. Of course, they do not deny that they had led them astray. However, they say, well, we were ourselves. فَأَغْوَيْنَاكُمْ إِنَّا كُنَّا غَاوِينَ. So we perverted you, for we were perverse ourselves. It was not our fault that we perverted you, we led you astray, because we were astray ourselves, we were perverted ourselves, so it was natural that we would do that. Why did you listen to us? You shouldn't have listened to us. Had you not been perverted yourselves, you wouldn't have listened to us. And then, of course, Allah says, فَإِنَّهُمْ يَوْمَ إِذٍ فِي الْعَذَابِ مُشْتَرِكُونَ. So that day they will share in the punishment. A more elaborate type of this argument is mentioned in Surah Mu'min, Surah number 40. Verse number 47, وَإِذْ يَتَحَاجُّونَ فِي النَّارِ. When they argue in the fire. فيقول الضعفاء للذين استكبروا إنا كنا لكم تبعا فهل أنتم مغنون عنا نصيبا من النار. The weak will say to those who were arrogant. Now here, of course, the picture is a little bit changed, because in other places there were those who were misled and those who misled them. Here there are weaker ones and stronger ones, which gives more moral ground for the weaker ones to argue, actually, because you were strong, you were kings, you were arrogant, you forced us to follow you, and the argument goes in this way here. فَيَقُولُ الضُّعَفَاءُ لِلَّذِينَ اسْتَكْبَرُوا إِنَّا كُنَّا لَكُمْ تَبَعًا فَهَلْ أَنْتُمْ مُغْنُونَ عَنَّا نَصِيبًا مِنَ النَّارِ. The weak will say to those who were arrogant, indeed, we used to follow you. So will you avail us against any portion of the fire? Those who are arrogant will say, indeed, we are all together in it. Indeed, Allah has judged between His servants. Well, this is, of course, a very beautiful response, because you are asking us something which is not in our hand. God, the Lord, has decreed what He had to decree. He has judged. He has sent you here, and you tell us that, can you prevent any of the fire from us, or can you take some burden from us? This is impossible. Well, of course, even if they could do it, they wouldn't have done it, because they hate each other. قال الذين استكبروا إن كل فيها إن الله قد حكم بين العباد. And those in the fire will say to the keepers of hell, supplicate your Lord. Now, after they, of course, became disappointed from the arrogant ones, those who had misled them, they say to the angels who are the keepers of the hell, torturing them, preparing all those tortures for them, they ask these angels, those in the fire will say to the keepers of hell, supplicate your Lord, to lighten for us at least one day's punishment. And then they respond, they will say, did not your apostles used to bring you manifest proofs? They will say, yes. And the angels would reply, then supplicate yourself. And the supplications of the faithless only go astray. Now, there are other instances of this argument mentioned in the Quran. Argument between people who were misled, people who did mislead them, and people who were arrogant, people who were forced to follow them, but forced in a sense, not that they were forced by torture or anything. They were told and they followed. And also friends who يَوْمَ يَعَذُّ الظَّالِمُ عَلَىٰ يَدَيْهِ يَقُولُ يَا لَيْتَنِي لَمْ أَتَّخِذْ فُلَانًا خَلِيلًا. At the day when the ظالم, the oppressor, the wrongdoer, that is the kafir, the mushrik, they bite their hands out of sorrow and they say, I wished I had not taken such and such as my friend. So the friends as well, it's not only higher and lower, also friends would argue with each other for this purpose. And here towards the end of this story, of course, we have the verse, إِنَّ ذَلِكَ لَحَقٌ تَخَاصُمُ أَهْلِ النَّارِ. It is... It is a truth. It is indeed a truth, the contentions of the inmates of the fire. Now, of course, haq might mean the truth. Also, it might mean that it is something that naturally should take place because people have misgivings about each other when they go to hell. People think that they are misled by other people and they are both in the same place. And therefore, it is something that will happen, naturally will happen. It is unavoidable, this type of argument which goes on in the hell. Anyhow, the two verses here which talks about this argument, هَذَا فَوْجٌ مُقْتَحِمٌ مَعَكُمْ, when a group comes in, they start to whisper with each other, or the angels would tell. However, the first explanation might be better, that who are these people? Why are they coming? Do you know them? Do you not know them? And apparently people who know each other go to the same place in the hell. And therefore they would say, yes, this is a group coming with you, because of you. And they say, may wretchedness be their lot. They are not welcomed here. Why they are sending them to our quarter? They are not welcomed in this place. لا مرحباً بهم. إِنَّهُمْ صَالُ النَّارِ. They will indeed enter the fire. And then coming, hearing that they say, you are not welcomed here, go some other place. Of course, it's not in their hand. They would respond, rather you are not welcomed here. Wretchedness be your lot. أَنْتُمْ قَدَّمْتُمُهُ لَنَا. You prepared this for us. What an evil abode. Now, apparently this argument goes on and on until they both get tired. And at the end, they turn to the Lord. They turn to the Lord, they curse each other. قَالُوا رَبَّنَا مَنْ قَدَّمَ لَنَا هَذَا فَزَدْهُ عَذَابًا ضِعْفًا فِي النَّارِ. They say, our Lord, whoever has prepared this for us, double his punishment in the fire. Now, of course, these two groups had common enemies as well, had people who they thought they were people of wretchedness, who thought they were stupid people, they were people who didn't know anything in the previous life, and now they turn their eyes and they don't see them in the hell, and they become surprised. That adds to their agony actually. Seeing that those people who were despised all the way through during the lifetime in this world, seeing the people who were their enemies in this world are not now, they are not in the hell alongside with them. So they say, وَقَالُوا مَا لَنَا لَا نَرَى رِجَالًا كُنَّا نَعُدُّهُمْ مِنَ الْأَشْرَارِ. And they say, what is the matter with us that we do not see here men whom we used to count among the bad ones? Of course, ashrar, because usually people of disbelief, they regard people of faith to be either stupid or to be people of bad character, or people who use these faith issues for the purpose of their benefit in this world, or something like that. The drives that they can think of that, about someone who has faith is one of these issues. Either they are stupid or they want to use it for their worldly benefit or such things. And now they turn their eyes, probably after a while that they stay there, they go to all corners of that quarter of the hell, and they don't see those people in the hell. وَقَالُوا مَا لَنَا لَا نَرَى رِجَالًا كُنَّا نَعُدُّهُمْ مِنَ الْأَشْرَارِ. And they say, what is the matter with us that we do not see here men whom we used to count among the bad ones? Did we ridicule them unduly in the world? أَتَّخَذْنَاهُمْ سَخْرِيًا أَمْ زَاغَتْ أَنْهُمُ الْأَبْصَارِ. Or do our eyes miss them here? So, there are two possibilities. They cannot think of the third possibility, that they are in paradise, that they are good ones. They see there are only two possibilities. Well, the first possibility tells them that, yeah, would insinuate that they realize that they might be in paradise, they might not be here. So, did we ridicule them unduly in the world? Was it not right for us to do that? Were they on the right path? Is it possible that they were right and we were wrong? Well, of course, they would realize, just after a while they stay in the hell, they realize that, yes, they were right and these people were wrong. Or do our eyes miss them here? إِنَّ ذَٰلِكَ لَحَقٌّ تَخَاصُمُ أَهْلِ النَّارِ. That is indeed the truth, the contentions of the inmates of the fire. Now, it's true not only when they are put in the hell, right from the beginning of the journey towards God on the Day of Judgment, at every stage that they come, and especially when they come before the Lord for judgment, they argue with each other. The argument, this argument which Allah says it is haqq, goes along just as it is in this world, it goes in the next world all through as well. Well, of course, there is an argument in this world about God, isn't it? Some people do not believe, some people believe, and the argument goes on and on and on. This has been the argument from the beginning of the khilqa, from the beginning of the creation, and it goes until the end of the creation. Those who do not want to believe, you cannot convince them. No matter how many proof you bring, of course, it's not a proof for them, because they do not want to believe. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا سَوَاءٌ عَلَيْهِمْ أَأَنذَرْتَهُمْ أَمْ لَمْ تُنذِرْهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. Those who have chosen to disbelieve, it's equal for them. You warn them, you do not warn them. Even if you show them 100 ayahs, 100 signs, as the Quran says, they will not believe. They will not have faith. And this goes on. There is a beautiful piece in Surah Saba about when they argue before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is before entering the hell, before the judgment is made. Now, Saba is Surah number 34. Verse number 31, the faithless say, وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَن نُؤْمِنَ بِهَذَا الْقُرْآنِ وَلَا بِالَّذِي بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ. The faithless say, we will never believe in this Qur'an, nor in what was revealed before it. وَلَوْ تَرَى إِذَا الظَّالِمُونَ مَوْقُفُونَ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ. But if you were to see, when the wrongdoers are made to stop before their Lord, this is for judgment, of course, casting the blame on one another. يَقُولُ الَّذِينَ اسْتُضْعِفُوا لِلَّذِينَ اسْتَكْبَرُوا لَوْلَا أَنْتُمْ لَكُنَّا مُؤْمِنِينَ. Those who were abased will say to those who were arrogant, had it not been for you, we would surely have been faithful. قَالَ الَّذِينَ اسْتَكْبَرُوا لِلَّذِينَ اسْتُضْعِفُوا أَنَحْنُ صَدَدْنَاكُمْ عَنِ الْحُدَى بَعْدَ إِذْ جَاءَكُمْ. بل كنتم مجرمين. Now the arguments are very forceful here from both sides. Now the arrogant one, those who misled these people astray, they would say, those who are arrogant will say to those who are abased, did we keep you from guidance after it had come to you? Means you could have chosen like others who chose. For some people, we tortured them, we tried to kill them or whatever, they did not leave faith. And for you, we just advised you and you just left the faith, you came along, you followed us, we just tipped you a little bit, you followed us. So they say, did we keep you from guidance after it had come to you? No, you were guilty yourselves. وقال الذين استضعفوا للذين استكبروا بل مكر الليل والنهار إذ تأمروننا أن نكفر بالله ونجعل له أندادا. Those who are abased will say to those who are arrogant, rather it was your night and day plotting when you prompted us to forswear Allah and to set up equals to Him. And of course, the judgment is that both of you should go to hell because there was no forcing, there was no compulsion. You chose to follow, and of course those who had led you astray, they will have extra punishment. وَأَسَرُّ النَّدَامَةَ لَمَّا رَأَوُوا الْعَذَابِ. They will hide their remorse when they sight the punishment. وَجَعَلْنَا الْأَغْلَالَ فِي أَعْنَاقِ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. And we will put iron collars around the necks of the faithless. Shall they be requited except for what they used to do? So this tahasum, this contention, this argument of people of hell is something which will go on and on forever. If you imagine something in this world, something similar, for example, a group of people are put in prison because, of course, some of them had plotted, others had were recruited, some others were somehow deceived into the plot, and all these issues which surround a case. You would see that some of them would blame the others that you suggested such a stupid plan, for example, or you told us that there is no harm in this, you told us that we would not be arrested, and they will argue with each other. Even in this world, this will happen. However, of course, this is not similar to what happens in the next world, because there the hatred is so deep, because whatever happens in this world, there is always an idea in the back of our mind that this is going to finish. It doesn't matter. Death comes and makes up for everything in this world. However, in the next world, there is no death. It's all eternity. And therefore, the grudge, the hatred, the argument, the contention is very, very deep. And that's why, as I said, people of the hell, whenever they meet each other, whenever they see each other, they start to curse, they start to argue, they start to swear at each other. It's because of that attitude of feeling that they have lost themselves, they have lost whatever they had because of those people who led them astray. Now, of course, this episode in the surah ends here, and now Allah tells the Prophet to turn into a different type of story. قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَنَا مُنذِرَ وَمَا مِنْ إِلَهٍ إِلَّا اللَّهُ الْوَاحِدُ الْقَحَّارِ. Say, I am just a warner, and there is no God except Allah, the one, the all paramount. Now, after hearing all these stories, of course, we had lots of stories in this surah. We had lots of admonishments, lots of lessons that should be learned from those stories. Now, after hearing all that, Allah says to the Prophet, tell them that I am only a warner. in the same way that the disbelievers didn't have any control over each other, and the doom of all of them was that they were decreed to go to hell. Now, in the same way, I have no control over you. I just call you to something good. And I warn you of something evil. And warn you of something which you just heard about the people of the hell. قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَنَا مُنذِرٌ. I'm just a warner. Of course, there are two aspects to Prophet's mission. One is warning, the other is giving good promise. بَشِيرًا وَنَذِيرًا. He is a Bashir, someone who gives good news, good promise. And Nazir, someone who warns and who admonishes. Now, here, since, of course, there are stories which goes better with this aspect of warning of the mission and also the story of the hell, whenever the story of the hell is mentioned, this aspect of warning comes in. Say, I'm just a warner. وَمَا مِنْ إِلَٰهٍ إِلَّا اللَّهُ الْوَاحِدُ الْقَحَّارِ. Now, what I want to warn you about is that there is no God except Allah, who is Wahid and Qahhar. Now, Wahid, of course, means one. However, one not in the sense of numbers as we know. This is a very, very important issue about Wahidiyya. We have two, when we talk about uniqueness of God or unity of God, we should have two aspects in mind. One is Wahidiyya, the other is Ahadiyya. Both of which means uniqueness, oneness, but have small difference with each other. In Wahidiyya, we mean that God is one, there is none but Him. In Ahadiyya, we mean that you cannot analyze Him. This one is one in all its qualities, characters, in a sense that you cannot analyze, divide, and analyze Him. So, Wahidiyya, Ahadiyya, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ. Ahad means that He's one in the way that you cannot say, okay, God consists of such and such. And Wahidiyya means, okay, there's only one, not two. However, when we say one, Wahid, again, we should pay attention to something mentioned in some of the traditions from Ahlul Bayt. Wahidun la bima'na al-adad. He's wahid, he's one, but not in the sense of numbers. Because you might have something which is only one. You might create a piece of art or a piece of architecture which is unique. There is no second to it. But there is a possibility of someone else coming or you yourself creating something similar. There is a possibility of that thing to be two, but it has happened to be one. Or like, take the example of the sun, for example. The sun, the way it is in the solar system, is one. There is no two for the sun. But it's one in the sense of numbers. That's one because there is no two for it. However, it was possible. It was possible. Impossibility of vision that we could perceive, no impossibility in perception or in imagination that the sun could have been two. It's possible. However, it has not happened. With Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is not the case. When we say He's Wahid, it doesn't mean the same sense as we say sun is one or such and such art piece is only one. It means He's one and it's impossible to imagine, even to imagine, not in reality. It's impossible to imagine that there would be a second for it. Now, you might say, okay, in imagination, there's no harm because people have imagined lots of other gods beside Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No, these are false imaginations. These are false perceptions. They have not known Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They have thought that Allah is like one of His creatures. And then they have said, okay, if He is like that, then there might be other gods as well. Alongside, they have imagined other gods. However, if they realize what God is, then even in imagination, it's not possible to imagine. a second for him. And this is the meaning of Wahid, not in the sense of numbers as it has come in many of our traditions from A'imma alayhim as-salam, who have of course explained, described God in the true sense and the way he should be described, that he is Wahid, but not in the sense of numbers, not in the sense that you count things. And of course he's one because he's the first thing you want to count, or because there's no second, it hasn't happened that there is no second to it. So there is no God, of course, illallahu al-wahid, this is one, and al-qahhar, wama min ilahin illallahu al-wahid al-qahhar. Now this wahid al-qahhar in many places have been put together. It is something of some importance. When we see different qualities of God are put together, are put beside each other. For example, يُصَبِّحُ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ الْمَلِكُ الْقُدُّوسُ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. This عَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ has been repeated several times in the Quran. They are juxtaposed beside each other, Aziz and Hakim. There should be some reason why these two qualities come with each other. Or Ghafur Rahim. You don't see, for example, in many places or at all, you don't see that two qualities or two attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are put together like Al-Qahhar al-Rahim. Never they have been put juxtaposed beside each other. Why? Because, of course, there is no reason to put them beside each other. But Ghafur al-Rahim is are qualities which are put beside each other. As-Sami'u al-Basir are qualities which are put beside each other. Sami'u al-Alim are put beside each other. And this Wahid al-Qahhar as well are two qualities which usually go together. Now, what is the meaning of Qahhar? Of course, all paramount is mentioned here as a translation. I don't know in your Qur'an what is the translation of Qahhar, but translations don't really tell us much about the truth of the attribute which is mentioned in the Qur'an. We have to analyze it a little bit to find out what is the meaning of Qahhar and why Qahhar is usually put beside Wahid. لَمَنِ الْمُلْكُ الْيَوْمِ. On the Day of Judgment there is this statement mentioned, to whom belongs the kingdom today? لِلَّهِ الْوَاحِدِ الْقَحَّارِ. For Allah who is the One and the Qahhar. Inshallah, next week we'll discuss the meaning of Qahhar and why it is juxtaposed with Wahid. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa alihi tahirin.
Thank you very much, Sheikh. Any volunteers, sisters, brothers? Safraz?
Assalamu alaikum. Sheikh, in Surah Saba, ayat 33, you were mentioning, and they shall conceal regret when they shall see the punishment. Why would they conceal their regret? Surely everybody can see it, they can see it.
Surely everybody can see it.
Well, why would they conceal their regret?
Yeah, because they don't want to show that they now think that they were wrongdoers. Because although they realize that they were wrongdoers, especially they were wrong in following those people. This وَأَسَرُ النَّدَامَ is mainly for those who followed, for مُسْتَضْعَفُونَ rather than مُسْتَكْبِرُونَ. They conceal it because they don't want to show to the arrogance that they are so regretful now. They still want to argue with them. And they regret that they followed them, and they conceal that regret so that they can still argue, they can still fight with those people who had led them astray.
Just connected with this one, Sheikh, will there be physical fights?
There will be physical fight as well, but as I said, they are mostly chained, and otherwise they would have injured each other all through. So they are usually put in solitary cells, they are chained, and that's why they usually use their tongue.
Thank you. Sisters, before I come to brothers, yeah? Sister, no. Manju?
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam.
You know, you mentioned that they will have an argument, and after the argument, they will go to the guards of the Jahannam and ask them to supplicate to Allah to reduce the punishment. Is this something that you mentioned earlier, that there is a process of purification, and then after a stage, people will be taken out from that stage and they will end up in either Jannat or maybe in between? Is this supplication is a process of this? Is there any link in that? Or?
Not this individual supplication, but yes, because as I said, in the Quran, you would see that the people of the hell supplicate so much to the Lord. They beseech the Lord for different things. One, for example, to finish their lives, the other to relieve them from the punishment or to take them out. But they have to supplicate centuries and centuries and centuries to believe that they are supplicating. Now they supplicate or they tell to the gods of the hell because they just want to get out of this situation. And there is mention of this supplication in other places of the Quran, saying that they say, take us out and we will be good people. And Allah says they are liars. If we take them out, they will go back to the same thing that they do. So immediately, I mean, the first minute they enter hell, they start to supplicate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But that supplication is something which is only the urge of situation. That should be internalized in a way that they realize that they have to turn to the Lord. And that takes thousands and thousands and thousands of years. But yes, immediately as they enter, they start this type of attitude. And as soon as it happens that if they are taken out, they do not go back to the same attitude that they had, they will be taken out. Because Allah says, if we take them out, they go back to do the same things. It means that if they don't go back to do the same things, we will take them out. However, that will take ages for them.
Do you want to add something?
This is the way you explain that when they will reach a stage that Allah feels that they will not go back to the same attitude or the same actions. Something similar, say that tawbah, that we make tawbah, and we need, for the real tawbah, we have to come to the stage that we say, okay, we will not repeat it. Is this something similar?
Yes, exactly. I mean, things in this world are very easy. To make a tawbah is very easy. To change attitude is very easy, because it's all in our hands. There, it's not in our hands anymore. This personality is shaped, and it's very difficult. But yes, it is a sort of pattern which should be followed, the same as tawbah in this world, the same as turning to God in this world, the same as istighfar in this world. But as I said, in this world things are very easy. In the next world it will be very difficult.
So following this, in hell, the people... it will entirely depend on them how to supplicate or how to plead to Allah, isn't it? There won't be any guidance, like there is a guidance in the heaven how to... Yeah.
No, their guidance is the hell. I mean, is the fire of the hell. It guides them to supplicate, actually. It's the urge of that punishment which drives them towards supplicating.
Thanks. Sisters? No? Okay. So your name is...
Assalamu alaikum, Shaykh. You said the people in the hell, they obviously hate each other. What about their attitudes towards the Mu'minians, in particular people to whom the prophets were sent and messengers were sent? What would their attitudes be towards the messengers? And the enemies of the Ahlul Bayt, what would their attitudes be and their feelings be towards the Ahlul Bayt in the hell? Would a sense of love come to them, or would they still hate them?
No, of course. The same hatred or the same defiance which was here will be there as well. And if that love comes, love of Allah or anyone related to Allah, comes to any hearts, of course they will be taken out of the hell. But it wouldn't appear for long, long time.
Sisters? No? Safra, you want?
You mentioned those people who are in hell. They will say, where are those people we used to consider vicious and bad? And you said that those people, they would consider stupid. Or could it also be that if we look at arrogant people today, they consider very highly qualified and very intelligent people, people like Imam Khomeini, rahmatullah alayh, and people like Ahmadinejad, as vicious and barbaric? Could it be that these kind of people they would consider and say, where are they?
Yes, exactly.
Rather than just ordinary low-level people that we seem to think of.
Yes, exactly. Yes, yes, yes. That's right. Yeah. And usually the leaders of two groups view each other as such, and they try to interpret that view or to convey that view to other people, to ordinary people as well. Yes, it's a very nice interpretation, of course. That's people who are the leaders in Islam are usually seen vicious by those who are against Islam or against the faith, yes.
Any other question or comments, anything? Seems to be very the shortest session today.
Okay.
Okay. No, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.
Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad Salwan.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad.